Today's daf is Vochim daf Lamed Hey, and we will begin 5 lines from the bottom of daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis Guf. Tanya, we're going to the Braiser of Yudoi, Merkois Echod, Hoyem Memale, Midama Taruvois, Erev Pesach, Yudal and Nisan, in the Beis HaMikdash. They used to bring the Karban Pesach. And after all the Karbanos were brought, the Kehanim would go, and they would fill up one cup of blood, Midama Taruvois, from the blood that was mixed up on the floor. And the reason they did that was, Sh'im Yishafech Et Chamehen, because in the event that one of the bloods from one of the Karbanis Pesach that were brought were Nishbach, that means that blood never made it onto the Mizbech. There was never a Zrika done with it. Nimtza Shumachshira. So now, this one kais of dam will have in it a taruvais of all the damim that were nishpach, and as a result, you'll be able to make up for that zrika that never took place. Amru le Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, so this was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But the Chachamim said, v'alei le niskabel b'kli. Nishpach, we know, is pasul. That's Zvachim 101. That's the Mishnah on Daf Chav Hayim and Aleph. Anyone that's ever learned Zvachim knows the halach of nishpach, meaning, if the dam is nishbach from the tzavra behema before you do the kabbalah, it's possible. You can't do a zrika with dam that's possible. So the Gemara says, Elo, Amru le Rabbi Yehuda v'alei le neskabel b'kli. So the Gemara says, "No, Yodi, one second. How did the Chachamim know that it wasn't neskabel b'kli? Maybe it wasn't neskabel b'kli. Meaning, how do you understand the Chachamim's taina? Elo shemen le neskabel b'kli. No, they will say maybe it wasn't neskabel, and misafik he shouldn't be able to do his rika with dam that's possible. Amru lehem, Rabbi Yehuda told him, "Afani le amarti elo kachen neskabel b'kli. When I said they were able to do his rika, I meant that they were going to take from dam that wasn't nishbach mitzavra behema, but rather it was nishbach after the kabbalah, and that's also a mishnah that even though nishbach mitzavra behema, the halach is a dam is possible. But if the kohen did the kabbalah and afterwards it was nishbach, it's going to be kosher." So Rabbi Yehuda said that the reason this works is because they only took from blood that was nishbach minakli. But who grew from ino yod? How did Rabbi Yehuda know that they were going to know exactly? I mean, maybe dam was nishbach mitzavra behema. So at the end of the day, the chachamim seem to be right. You have a sofik that maybe this dam that they were memala is dam that was nishbach. If that's the case, it's possible. You have no right to go ahead and do a zrika. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't worried about because he knew kayanim's reason. The kayanim has reason. Rashi says umekabli lekul. But at the same time, there's reason and they work very, very fast. Haya, Rashi says, means mehera. It's an Aramaic way of saying fast. Bottom line is kayanim's reason. Hey, he wasn't worried that they weren't going to do the Kabbalah, but at the same time, during the halacha, as they go from the Kabbalah to the Zrika, there was a concern that maybe some of the blood spilled. It could be this one carbon Pesach that was brought, whose dam never made it onto the Mizbeach, and that's the site of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Kois Echad Hayim Mimali Midama Taruvais. So now they go ahead and do one Zrika, and this one Zrika is going to potter up any dam that maybe wasn't Nizrak on the Mizbeach. Why aren't you worried about the fact that there's a lot of bloods on the floor? So forget about dam that was Nishbach. That you're not worried about because Kehanim is reasoning. But there could be there was dam that's on the floor that came from the Behema that's not dam that's Roy Vazrika. Because the only dam that's raised was Rika is the dam ha-nefesh, not the dam ha-or, and not the dam ha-tamsis. The dam ha-tamsis is some of the blood that comes out b'shas t'shchita. But the bottom line is that dam is posel. It's poshet that on the floor of the azara there was dam ha-tamsis. If that's the case, so the dam kosher should be bottle to the dam ha-tamsis, assuming the dam ha-tamsis is the roiv. But again, l'chura, aren't you being zoyrek a zrika psula? If it's a zrika psula, what exactly are we accomplishing? So the Gemara says, we do the tamid, dam ha-tamsis kari dam. Rabbi Yehuda holds that dam ha-tamsis is considered dam. There's no difference between dam ha-nefesh and dam ha-tamsis. We learn to the price of dam ha-tamsis ba-azorah. If somebody eats dam ha-tamsis, he's over Nazar. So we know that one of the chayvei krisus is dam. Somebody eats dam, he's chayv koras. Chayv of dam, they always come together. If someone eats dam, he's chayv koras. Which dam? So pashtus, it's the dam ha-nefesh. What if somebody eats the dam ha-tamsis? It's a problem, but it's only an azar. Rebuda says, but karis, no. That just like the dam ha-nefesh, this karis. If somebody eats dam ha-tamsis, this karis as well. So what do you see? Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no difference between dam ha-nefesh and dam ha-tamsis. If you chayif karis for dam ha-tamsis, just like for dam ha-nefesh, then l'chura reasons to say that when it comes to the avoidas adam, the avoidas azriko, it should be loved after according to Rabbi Yehuda dam ha-nefesh. So again, it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitas. Rabbi Yehuda that holds that dam ha-tamsis is dam le'inyin chayvi kriso. So too, it's going to be considered dam le'inyin zriko. So what are you worried? How could they go now and gather down from the floor? Isn't there dam ha-tamsis murav bay? That's an issue if dam ha-tamsis is not dam kosher. But if Dama Tansis is Dam Kosher, it's not a problem. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, Maid Rabbi Yehuda, Linyan Kapara, Shein Mechaper, that even Rabbi Yehuda that holds that if somebody eats Dama Tansis, he's Chayiv Kares. So with regards to the Isser Dam, there's no chilik between Dama Tansis and Dama Kosher. But Rabbi Yehuda was Maid Linyan Kapara, as it relates to the halacha of Anina Satav Al Mazbech, Lechaper, the idea that when the Kohen did Zrika with the Dam, it was Mechaper. There Rabbi Yehuda's Moida that it's not Mechaper. Shenemer ki Adam hu ha-nefesh. It says that in the Pasuk that discusses that Avodas has Zrika. And we learn from there, Dam she-nefesh, yaitzabay kari dam, she-in ha-nefesh, yaitzabay ein kari dam. So don't shtel tzu Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds Dam ha-tamsus as a Chavi Krisus. That would help me if we were learning the Sugis of Chavi Krisus. It's not what we're learning. We're learning the Sugis of Avodas Adam. And in the Sugis of Avodas Adam, it has to be Dam ha-nefesh. So Hannah said, I'll be going to Rabbi Yehuda that to be Mamalukais Echad from the Dam ha-tarayvis. L'chayr you have over there, Dam Matamtzes, it's the roiv. So the churitz is rikapsula. El Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei da ama ein dam evatul dam. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa. A different Rabbi Yehuda. Not Rabbi Yehuda that dam matamtzes is karis. That has nothing to do with our sugi. It's Rabbi Yehuda that holds min b'minoi loy batal. And that's a shitas Rabbi Yehuda that's mentioned throughout Shas. It's a shitas Rabbi Yehuda that actually comes from Kachim. We'll see those gemaras later in the Masechta. If you look at the Maseres HaShas, the Kamon Lamed Vav, the Kamon Ayin Ches, the Kamon Ayin Tes, so this is something that's going to come up many times. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, however, is that Min Bemina Ein Abatel. In this context, Dam can't be Mevatel Dam. See, even if Roiv of this Taruvus is Dam HaTamsus, and only a Mir is Dam HaNefesh, and you need Dam HaNefesh to do his Rika, but the Mir of Dam HaNefesh won't become bottle to the Roiv of Dam HaTamsus, and as a result, that's why you were able to do Zrika. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda said that every single Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, there was an interesting minute that took place after the Karbonos were brought. So the Karbonos were brought on Yudal and Nisan and Erev Pesach, and then Beleil Pesach, at the Seder, they would sit and they would actually eat the Karbon Pesach. That was the Mitzvah Sachila. So that Krava was done on Yudal and Erev Pesach, and Achila was done Beleil Tezvav. And every single year had a Chiyuv to bring a Karbon Pesach. It was Nechal B'Chabura, Tzatla Beis Avos, but there were many, many Karbonos that were brought. And Yehuda was a little worried that it could be that some of the dam of some of these Karbonos that were brought never made it onto the Mizbeach. The reason is because Kayhanim's reason hein va'ovdin hayo. Hayim meaning Mehera. They work very, very fast. And what if one of the klisharis that were holding the dam during the Avodas HaKabbalah, Pesach is a carbon, it requires Shechita Kabbalah, Ilachas Rika, maybe some of the dam fell on the floor? So Yehuda was worried about that, so he said, it's not a problem. Kois Echadayim Emali, let's fill up one kois. Take all the blood on the Ritzpas HaZara, let's do one Zrika. That one Zrika is going to patter Lahoitzi Miliban in case there was one Karban Pesach whose dam never made it onto the Mizbech. I wasn't at Nishbach, yeah, but it was Nishbach after the Kabbalah. He's not worried that it was Nishbach before the Kabbalah, because Alzen Nemak Koyhanim's reason him. They're going to make sure that it wasn't Nishbach before, but maybe it was Nishbach after. So for that, there's an Eitzah. You can go ahead and you can do it. The Chachamim, however, argued. The Chachamim said that this did not take place. Amalem Rabbi Yehuda. So Yehuda told the Chachamim, Lidivreichem, according to you, that this never happened. Lama Poikikino Azar. And again, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim lived after Churban Beis HaMikdash. They both weren't around when this all took place. They're discussing what allegedly took place. So Rabbi Yehuda tells the Chachamim, I'll bring you a raya that I'm right. Because don't we know that on Erev Pesach, they used to plug the drain that would have caused the blood to naturally flow out of the Azara. So Rabbi Yehuda tells the Chachamim, how does that make sense? Why would they have done that? Bishloim, according to me, I know why they did it. They did it because they want the dam to be there so that they could be mamalo one kais, to make sure it comes somehow from all the damim. They don't want to let any dam get out. Because what if the dam of that one carbon that was nishbach min akli goes out, so we're not accomplishing what we set out to accomplish though. So I understand why they would plug the drain. But according to you, why did they do it? Amrulay, so the Chacham told Rabbi Yehuda for a completely different reason. Shvach ulevnei yaharin sheyahalchu ad arka v'yaseim b'dam. Because it was a shvach, it was a beautiful sight to see the Chachamim working, the Kayhanim, Erev Pesach, in the Beis HaMikdash, literally drenched in blood as the blood is piling up and piling you up because the drain's not working. And it was a shvach, and that's why they did that. Fake the Gemara, it's a shvach. I don't even think you could do it lahalacha. But dam havi chatzitza, isn't the dam a chatzitza? And didn't we learn that the kayhanim, lamoid, l'shores, you now even be standing on your friend's toes. Certainly, you have to be standing directly on the ritzpats, the first mishnah and the second perek. So why isn't the dam a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, lachu, because the dam is lach, it's a liquid, v'le havi chatzitza, v'le havi chatzitza, v'le havi chatzitza, v'le havi chatzitza, blood, ink, honey and milk, yevashim, if they're dried, chaytzitzin. Lachin, but if they're liquid, ein chaytzitzin. It's not a chatzitzo. Frank, the Gemara of Ahakon mitvesi manayu. Why aren't you concerned about the fact that the big day kahuna obviously got dirty? It was at Arkavoseim, so obviously the big day kahuna got dirty. Vitnana, we learned in the Mishnah. If the Kehanim's big tekuna got dirty, the avodah is possible. So the Gemara says, maybe you're going to tell me, you know, they picked it up. Like, you know, when you're walking in a flood, so you pick your pants up. But we learned in a braisa, it has to be fit, literally, perfect, custom made. Made to measure. You can't do that. You can't just go ahead and lift your pants. The only time the Kehanim walked in the blood was while they would be Melech the Evarim Lekevish. While they were carrying the Evarim Lekevish, which is not an Avodah, it's only then that they did that. How did they get around the rest of the time? The Gemara is going to address that in a second. But says the Gemara, the only time they went at Akvesein Bedam, which was when they would be Melech the Evarim Lekevish, that's not an Avoid, and that's where they were able to pick up their robe. V'loi, but the Gemara says, the Lachas Evarim Lekevish is not an Avoid, the time we learned to the Brisa, Fikr Vakoinis HaKol, Zuhay Lachas Evarim Lekevish, it's Mefurisha, Jerusha, Brisa, that Lachas Evarim Lekevish is Ella, but Lachas Eitzel Lemarocha. It's talking about when they brought the wood to the Marocha, the Lav Avoidi, that's not an Avoid. So that was the only time that they went at Arkavesein Bedam. Ula Avoid Hechi Asli. Freight the Gemara, when they were doing the Avoid, how did they get around then? Gemara says, Ozliya, it's to be, they used to walk on binyanim made out of stone that was part of the Azara. They didn't put it there on their own. Hakol b'ksav, that's not something they would have been allowed to do as we had in the Gemara earlier, but that was built there, and they used to walk on top of these itztabois. That's how they would get from place to place. Because Anachanami, they weren't allowed to walk on the Ritzvah Zazara. It was impossible. Because if you're walking on the Ritzvah Zazara, you're running into issues. Chatzitza is not an issue because it's a double lach. A double lach is in chaytzeitz. But the big dekuna are going to get dirty. And the only eitzah is to lift the begadim. You're not allowed to lift the begadim. So you're really stuck. You can't let your begad float naturally, because it's going to be dirty. You can't lift it up because it's a lach of kimidasai. The eitz is, they had to walk on top of the itztabos. If that's the case, then like, why even get into this mess in the first place? Literally. Why not just let the blood drain out? So bishloim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason they're letting the blood not drain, the reason they want it there is for this kaisech. But according to Rabbanu, why are they doing it? So for that, the Gemara says, shvachu livnei haaretz. I'll tell you something interesting. Three places I found in halacha that this idea of shvachu levnei aharon sheyeholchu ad arkaveseim bedam comes up. The first is well known, and that is a chasam soifer in chedushay chasam soifer. It's not a tshuva chasam soifer. It's a chedushay chasam soifer. It's a mesechta sukkah. It's a perek lulav hagazel. And the context over there is there's a halacha that an esrig hamenumar is possible. Esrig hamenumar is an esrig that has spots. Menumer, like a leopard. So if there's a spot in two or three places, it's possible. The reason is because it's halacha that an esrog has to be a pre-eitz hader. And then this is a discussion, the Gemara, right in the beginning of Perek Lulav HaGazel. If this halacha pre-eitz hader is true only for the first day of Pesach, or it's true for all 7 days Pesach, because the first day is Deiraisa, the other 7 days were only Mideiraisa, and the Beis HaMikdash wasn't Mideiraisa, the Gevulim. But there's certainly shittas that hold that the din hadar is true for all 7 days, and if there's a loch of hadar for all 7 days, then it comes out that an esrog hamenumer is going to be puzzled all 7 days. And based on that, the Chasam Sofer says, I have a very big problem. Because if you take a look at most esrogim, by the second day Chol HaMoed, it already became an esrog hamenumer. It starts getting spots. It develops spots because of the nanuim and the mishmushim that you do with the esrog. Simply from using it, the wear and tear that it gets, it starts showing. And it becomes an esrog hamenumer. And the emes is, you have to know, could you be yoitza with such an esrog? Or you cannot be yoitza with such an esrog. I mean, to quote one excerpt from this Chasam Sofer, Roiv pamim b'chayl shamayit kfar nasa ke'en menumer mi mishma shayad. So what's going on over here? Eich matzinu yadeinu v'ragleinu. On sukkahs to be yoitzah, the most basic halacha of dalam minin. If there's halacha that esrog has to be hadar all 7 days, and an esrog hamenumer is a chisaron in hadar, l'chura, every esrog says the Chasam Sofer, or Rav Esrogim says the Chasam Sofer, by the time Chol HaMoed rolls around, is already an esrog hamenumer. Says the Chasam Sofer, you have to say, that being that the reason this esrog became a numer was because of the fact that it was used l'dvar mitzvah, meaning when you look at the esrog on Chol HaMoed, you know what you see? You see an esrog that was used. You see tashmishay mitzvah. You see an esrog that's a davar shebekdusha that you just use to serve Hashem. If that's the case, says the Chasam Sofer, zeu hoidei v'adarai. It's not a chsar and another. To the contrary, zeu hoidai, v'zeu adarai. V'ktsas raya lezeh, says the Chassam Sofer, v'psochem samecheyam ad beis. And it's also zvachem lamed heyam and aleph. Shvachu lezarish ala harin, sheyehochu ad ark v'esein v'dam, ayin shom. U'bevadai ba'alma ki yoitzev zeh hava akriveyam nolof chasecho. Avad ordinarily for coin to do the avoid of walking in dam, it would be a dover shal bezayin. Nervous, because what's this dam? This isn't just random, indiscriminate dam. This is dam that was used for the akrobas of the Karban Pesach. Same thing said the Chassam Sofer regarding an estrig, that you know why we could be yoitzer with an estrig the entire 7 days, and there's no chsarin of menumer once you get it to Chol HaMoed. It's because of this idea of shvachu l'bnei Aharon. It's a phenomenal chiddush l'halacha, but l'maisa, unknowingly, we're saying the Chandos Chassam Sofer, because otherwise we really would have a big issue. That's the first aura. The second aura that came to mind, and that is a Taz in Mesech, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. So it's in Simen Tov Kuf Pei Dala. The context over there is if there's a Bris Mila on Rosh Hashanah, when exactly are you supposed to do the Bris Mila? And the Taz in Sifkotin Beis says as follows: Shamati, I heard Shagoyin Reb Feivish Mikrakas Zechreinu Levracha Hayomol BeRosh Hashanah. He was a mile, and he would do the Bris Mila on Rosh Hashanah. For like Kinach Piv Acher Hamila, he would do Mitzitza BePeh, which meant that there was now blood on his mouth. He was also the Shpaltekeya. And BePeh HaMiluchlich B'dam Mila Toka B'Shoifer. And then he would go and he would blow Shoifer with that Peh that was Miluchlich B'dam La'ariv Mitzvah Smila B'Mitzvah Shoifer. And the reason he did it was to be Marv. Now I think at first glance it's a Tamiya Gedayla. How was he able to do that? That's the way you serve Hashem. You Peh, your mouth is meluchlich bedam. Doesn't sound like a nice thing to do. I mean, the shofar is mamish. It's a real Hashem. That's what you're doing. It's malchus. You're being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu while you're the shofar. So you're gonna go. You're gonna be mamlech HaMelech, and you're gonna have blood coming out of your mouth. The teretz is shvachu l'vnei Aharon. I think it's this idea. Incidentally, the Neid Yehuda, the Shai Tshuva brings that the Neid Yehuda was matmiya on this Reb Feivish Mikraka. He didn't understand because he was aware. Why isn't there a problem with chatzitza? The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that tzipos up, it's a Mishnah, that if you coated the tip of the shofar with gold, it's a problem because your mouth has to be touching the shofar directly. So Frank Tanoid of Yehuda, he said, it's very nice, la'ariv mitzvahs b'mitzvahs, and maybe there's no problem of the bezoyin hakriveu nol of chasecha because shvachu l'vnei Aharon. You're taking dam that was used for mitzvah. It's like the menumer of the esrig b'chol shomayin. It's like our Gemara right here. It's the kayanim walking in the dam that was brought from the Korban Pesach. But why are you worried about chatzitza? And Zokta, you're going to tell me because dam is lach, and Adav lach isn't chaytze. It's like Argamara said, but he says there's no way that it's still lach at that point. It dried up. And the same Brisa that says dam lach is not chaytze, it's dam yovish, the Brisa says is chaytze. So that's Nayyudah's problem. There's a Shari Tshuva over here with the Shari Tshuva has an arichas to try to answer the kasha. Either way, that's the second Maramachim. And the third Maramachim, as I saw in the Sharim, it's Yonam Balacha, he brings from the Sefer Darkei Chayim V'Shalom, that the Minchas Olaza had a minik, that there's two times we wear a kittel. So you wear a kittel by the Leil Seder, and you wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. So Minchas Olaza used to wear his kittel at the Leil Seder, and you know, after the Seder with the Dalet Koisis, you know, what happens is your Seder starts getting dirty from the matzes and the wine, and he would wear the same exact kittel on Yom Kippur. And he didn't wash the kittel. He would leave it dirty with the blood of the kittel and the matzes and the stains and everything. And the reason he did it is Vasu Shteit in Zohar HaKadosh Shev Deschus HaMatzah Nitzoylem in Adin V'yoytzem B'dimus B'mei Rosh Hashanah. So he wanted it on Rosh Hashanah. He should have the Deschus HaMatzah. This is literally the Sanei. He would walk in and he would say Ichobda the matzah, and I have the Dalut Koisus. Look, we were Mekayim to say the Chasalzi the Pesach Kil Chasai, and as Vasu Shteit in Zohar HaKadosh, that's what's going to be matzahless now Midino when it comes on Rosh Hashanah. But Frank Ripshlim is Alman Braun, the Sharmatan of Alacha. It's all very nice, but it's a pel, because the Gemara says, Mesach the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud, Hesam and Aleph, L'chtoish, Hashem, Mechubad, Zeh Yom Kippur, Kabdeu, B'Ksus Nekiyah. Yom Kippur, you have to be Mechabed with B'Ksus Nekiyah. And he quotes from the Meiri, that the Meiri says that, you know, people get dressed up for Shabbos, you have your Shabbos shirt, and your Shabbos suit, and your Shabbos shoes. It's more wichtig on Yom Kippur than it is even on Shabbos. L'chtoish, Hashem, Mechubad, Zeh Yom Kippur, Kabdeu, B'Ksus Nekiyah. So if there's Alach of Ksus Nekiyah, L'chayr, the Minchus Olaz, violated the most basic Alach, Nilchus Yom Kippur. How is he allowed to wear a dirty kittel? What happened to Ksus Nekiyah? So there, maybe this is the pshat. This Gemara right here. Shvachu l'vnei Aharon, sheyehochu adak v'seyim v'dam. That being that it was used for Dvar Mitzvah, it's for that reason, it's not looked at as begodim that are metushtashim. To the contrary, it's looked at as a dover shvach. Either way, so we have it in our Gemara with regards to the Karban Pesach. But you have the Chassam Sofer in the Sechtes Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. It's Kedai didn't see inside with regards to Estrig. You have it in Simen Tov Kuf Pei Dalet Reb Feivish Mikraka that the Taz brings with regards to Tkiyah Shofer. And then you have in the Minchas Aluza, who used to wear his dirty kittel from the Leila Seder with the wine and the matzahs on Yom Kippur. Either way, there's some more raid, but let's learn a little bit more first. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. We return to the halachas of pigel. Hashikha, that's Hazevach. If somebody shechts a korban, lechol dovash in tarki, lechol lakhtu dovash in tarki lahaktis, he does it with a machsheves pigel. What's a machsheves pigel? Either to eat basa chutzazmanu chutzam kaimi, to be makhtidei murim chutzazmanu chutzam kaimi, to do the shvichas ashirayim chutzazmanu chutzam kaimi, or to do zrikas adam chutzazmanu chutzam kaimi. So this person shechted the carbon with the intent to eat, but a dovish ain't dark lechel, or to be makter a dovish ain't dark lechel. Halach is kosher. Rabbi Lezer says it's possible. This is Rabbi Lezer's shita that we've had throughout the third parak, where Rabbi Lezer holds that mechashve meachilas adam lachilas mizbeach or meachilas mizbeach lachilas adam lechel dovish dark lechel lachter dovish dark lechel pachas megazayis. What if he had a mind to eat a dovish dark lechel, or to be makter a dovish dark lechel, but he had a mind to do less than a kezayis? Halach is kosher. There too, it's going to be kosher, because you have to be mechashev on an achila. Achila is always bekezayis, so you have to make sure it's kezayis. What if you had a mind that two people should eat it? Oh, so we saw that Gemara. That is considered a machshavas pigel. We spoke about the Avni Nezer with all the lumdis and exactly how achila's kachem works. What if it's pachas mechdei achila's pras? You had a mind that a kezayis will be eaten, but not within the time frame of what's generally considered an achilas. That the Gemara discussed as well. But the bottom line is the basic halach of kezayis, that certainly applies. Lechol chatzi zayis ul hakta chatzi zayis. What if you had a mind to eat a chatzi zayis chutzazmane and to be makter chatzi zayis chutzazmane? Kosh she'in achila v'aktara mitzdar. All of that we've had already. This we didn't have. Hashem, this has ever. If someone shechts a carbon lechol kezayis min ha'ar, to eat a kezayis of the skin of an animal, umin ha'roitev, or a kezayis of the rotev, right, the sauce, umin ha'kipa, obviously after the bus is going to be cooked, there's going to be roitev. You don't have roitev in its natural form, but he had a mind, he's going to cook the meat. After he cooks the meat, there's going to be roitev, he's going to eat a kezayis of that. Umin ha'kipa, that's like the chazarai that gets left, the sediment on the bottom of the pot. Umin ha'olo, that's a part of the animal that wasn't roi l'achila. Umin ha'tzamay, or he has a mind to eat a kezayis of bones. Umin ha'gidin, umin ha'kernayim, the horns. Umin ha'tlofen, the hoofs. Chutzles manev, v'chutzlem koyme, kosher. Ve'ein chayoven aleyem ishom pigol noisev etam. So the halach is, if you had a machshava chutzles manev, v'chutzlem koyme, the carbon is kosher. It doesn't become possible. Additionally, you know the halach is a pigol, so that I already know. If chutzles manev, v'chutzlem koyme is kosher, obviously there's no pigol. But there's also no noiser and there's no tummy. Why not? Because all these things are dvarim she'in darkin l'achila. Some of them are not even roi l'achila. And being that it's not dvarim she'roin l'achila, there's no machshavas pigol. So if you mechashiv to eat basar chutzles manev, v'chutzlem koyme, that's a machshavas pigol. And the halach is a pigol noiser and tummy apply to basar. But that tzomois, the tlofim, the oir, the roitiv, the kippa, the olo, all these different things, they're not considered to be basar. Thus, if you mechashiv to eat them, chutzles manev, chutzlem koyme, it's not machshavas pigol. Additionally, the laws of noiser and tummy do not apply to them as well. More halachas, me'inyan le'inyan. So Rashi says that wherever you find the word mikdashim, this is a good Rashi. Kol hecha denokit hay lishna mayri bin akevis. And whenever you see the lashon of mikdashim, it means we're referring to a female animal. Obviously, mikdashim meaning it's hekdish. So Hashoicha, that's a mikdashim. Somebody shecht an akeva that's hekdish lechol shlil oyshulya b'chodz with the intent to eat the shlil is the fetus of the animal. Pachot, Oishulya is what's called the afterbirth. So after a woman gives birth, or after an animal gives birth, so there's a lot of things that come out of the woman. The placenta, that's called the afterbirth. So it's part of the guf of the mother. So Solkadaita Chamina, that if a Kohen had a machshava to eat the shlil of the shulya chutzas manah, maybe it should be machshavas pigel. That's this Mishnah. Loi pigel, it's not pigel. Hamoylik esat toirin, if somebody does maliko with toirin, lecho beitzein b'chutz, with the intent to eat the beitza of the toirin b'chutz, loi pigel, that's not either pigel, because it's not considered part of the toir, part of the bird. Chalev mukdashim, the milk of a nekeva, of a mother, that's hektish, u beitzei toirim, or the eggs of the toirim, in chayov and aleim, mishum pigol noiser v'tami. There's no pigol noiser v'tami. So there's some redundancy in this Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to address it. Either way, the second half of the Mishnah, which we haven't seen yet, said, a chiddush, and that is that there's certain parts of the animal that if the koyim would be mechashiv to eat them chutz lezmani chutz lekoymer, to be makter them chutz lezmani chutz lekoymer, it wouldn't be a machshavas pigol. And the reason is because the only time there's a loch of pigol is if you mechashiv on an achila on a dover shedarke lechel. But if it's not a dover shedarke lechel, or more so, it's not even roy lachila over there, you're not going to have that aloch. So, for example, hashoychet as hazevach lechel or roitiv kipa olol atzomeis gidin kronayim klofim, there's no pickle. Additionally, if you have a nekeva that's hektish, and you mechashev to eat the shlil or the shilya, it's also not pickle. If you moilek a bird, lecho beitzeim, it's also not going to be pickle. And by the way, the Mishnah says, no noiser in tamayid. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar Namayra came, and he said, a chiddish in the Havana of the Mishnah. Pigel bezevach nispagel ashlil. The shlil nispagel ashlil. This that the Mishnah said, for example, the shlil, the fetus of an animal, is not considered part of the animal in the sense that if you machashiv to eat the shlil chutz mani, it's not pigel. That's if the machshava was on the shlil. But what would be in the reverse? What would be if a kohen brought an animal, a nekeva, regular chatas, that's bab nekeva, with the intent to eat a kezayis basar chutz mani? Is the, and now pigel's chal. Is the pigel chal on the shlil or is it not chal on the shlil? That was Rabbi Lazar's chiddush. Pigel bezevach nispagel ashlil. If you had a regular machsheves pigel, avada the pigel is chal on the shlil. So if somebody would eat a kezayis of the shlil, it would be chayiv koris. It's just that b'shlil, if the machshava was to eat the shlil, lein nispagel azevach. That's where it's not chal pigel. Pigel ba'ol nispagel moira. Moira lein nispagel ol. So the ol on the moira is referring to an oif. So the ol is considered darkei lechol in the oif. Our Mishnah had it as a dovah she'ein darkei lechol because our Mishnah was discussing a behema. The murah, it's called the crop of the bird, part of the intestinal area, is considered a dovah she'ein darkei lechol when it comes to a bird. But the same halacha. So if you're mechashiv in a dovah she'ein darkei lechol, it's chal pigel even for the dovah she'ein darkei lechol. But if you're mechashiv in the dovah she'ein darkei lechol, then it's not chal pigel at all. Pigel be'emurim nispaglu parim be'parim le'nispaglu emurim. And then Rabbi Lazar gave a third example, something that's not mentioned in our Mishnah. That is, we know that there were certain animals that were brought, certain karbanos, where the din was that the emurim were burnt on the mizbeach. The dam obviously had a zrika. Some of the basa was eaten, but then there was also some of the basa that was burnt. So we know as the parim hanisrafim. So there was certain parim that were nisrafim. A classic example of one of the parim hanisrafim is the par helam davish al tzibur. So the par helam davish al tzibur, the par koyim mashiach, that's the special par that the kohen gadol would bring if he did an avera b'shagig. So those karbanos were nisrafim. They were taken outside of the makom hamikdash. It was a special place that they had to be brought, and they were nisraf. So says Rabbi Loza, that's poshit, that if somebody, the Kohen, would have in mind to eat the basar of Purim and Nisrafim, that's supposed to be Nisraf, Chutzazmane, it wouldn't be Chal Pigel. Because that's a Dovah Shein Darkei Lechel. Even though physically you could eat it, it's not like the bones or the olol or the murah that people physically don't eat. Here you can physically eat, but being that Dalach is, you don't eat it. So it's like a Dovah Shein Darkei Lechel. It's like having in mind to eat a Kazayas of Deimurim. That would not be a Machshavas Pigel. Stating that, if you had a regular Machshavas Pigel, the Pigel's Chal, even on the Chelik, that's Nisraf. So Pigel Beimurim, if you had a Machshavah to be Machte Deimurim Chutzaz Manoi, Nispaglu Parim. It's Chal Pigel, even on, what does it mean, Parim? On the Chelik, that's unique about these parim on Nisrafim, the chelik that was burnt. The parim, if the machshava was on the chelik on Nisraf, loy nispagu emurim. Either way, what's Rabbi Lazar's chiddush? His chiddush is that even though Mishnah gave a whole list of things that are excluded from pigel, it just means if you mechashiv to eat those things, chutz lezman, it's not chal pigel. But if you had a regular good kosher of machshavas pigel, oxymoron, but if you had a good machshavas pigel, then avad is chal pigel on the whole carbon, even on the chelik on a carbon that wasn't echel. Zok gemar le'misayeh le'luchur, I can bring you a rai. V'shavim, shemchishav achilas parim ubisrei fasam. So the context of the Veshavim is the Kaman Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. But for now, we just need the halacha. Forget about what the Veshavim means. Shem Chishe Bachilas Parim Misrifas. If you had a mind to eat the Parim, that the Chelik of it, meaning that's going to be burnt, it's not a Machshavas Pigel. My love, it sounds like only if the Machshava was on that Chelik, it's not Chal. But Ha Chishe Be'emurim, if the Machshava was on the Emurim, the Spaglu Parim, it's not what it means. Ha Chishe Be'emurim, the Spaglu Emurim. What it means is, it's true, you can certainly be medayek from here that if the machshava was regarding the chelik hanisrof, it's not pigel. But if the machshava was on the emurim, it is pigel. But it doesn't mean that if the machshava was on the emurim, it's chal pigel on the chelik that was nifsraf. All it means is that if you the machshava was on the emurim, it's chal machshava on the emurim. You don't see Rabbi Lazar's chiddush that if you had a regular machshavas pigel, it's chal even on the chelik of the animal that wasn't eaten. Tashma, this maybe is a raya. Par manisrofim, u seirim manisrofim. How would you have seirim manisrofim? So if you have parim anisrafim by parah and davar shel tzibur, this is Hoirius 101, you'd have sirim anisrafim if the aveira was avodah zara. Because any time Rav of Klal Yisrael did an aveira b'shigiga seira, they had to bring a par. But if it was avodah zara, then they had to add a sire. So that's how you would have a sirim anisrafim. But either way, parim anisrafim, usirim anisrafim, mayalam bahem, nalach is yab mi'ivo. Mishahuk, as soon as the koyin is makdish at that point, it already is subject to the laws of mi'ilo. Nishchatu, once you shechted, hukshuru, lipasa b'tfoyayim b'chusik yipurim, it becomes hukshar l'kabal tumah. So even a tfoyayim or b'chusik yipurim, certainly a regular tameh would touch these animals. At that point, again, once the shechita happened, they would become tameh. Ubalina, additionally, if they'd be left beyond the time that they're allowed to be left, these are kachi kadashim, so if they're left until the next morning, they would become pasul b'lina. Zok to Gemara, my love linas basar, l'chura, when we say lina, what are we referring to? We're referring to the basar, or even the basar. Vishmamina, migu de pasul b'lina, pasul b'machshava. So the Gemara jumps through a few hoops to ask a kasha, but it's a kasha. The Gemara is saying that you see over here that there's a halacha of psul lina by the parim anisrafim and the sirim anisrafim. And we're assuming that the psul lina applies to every chelik of the carbon, even the basar. And if there's a psul lina, then you should have the machshava of lina as well. What's the machshava of lina? It's a machshava of chutzazmane. It's a machshava that I'm going to make it lon. I'm going to make it chutzazmane. So you see it's shayach a machsheves pigol on even the basar of the parim and the sirim anisrafim. Now that's Pasha Rashi speaks out that if you were machashev to eat or to even be makter the emurim, the basar of the parim anisrafim chutzazmane, it's not going to be machsheves pigol because it's a davishin darkei lechol. It's a davishin darkei lechol. Elamai, what must be the case where you have the machshava of lina by the parim and the sirim anisrafim, where you had a regular machshavas pigol, and we're going to say that it's chal, even on the chelik, that was burnt. But al kaponim, so you have a raya then to Rabbi Loza, that even though it's dvarim shein dark and lechel, dvarim shein dark and lahakter, so if you mechashim, then it's not going to be chal, but if you had a regular machshavas pigol, then it will be chal, even on those chalokim. So the Gemara says, loy lina seimurim, maybe when the Braisa says it's a psul lina, the lina is not referring to the basar, the lina is referring to the emurim. As a result, the diuk of machsheves lina would also be true with regards to the emurim. But there's no gilui in this braisa that there is any sheiches between the basar of the parim anisrafim and the sirim anisrafim to the laws of pigol. But the Gemara says, "Amidik tani seifa." What did the seifa say? Kulan moyalin b'henad beis adeshen. Right, the braisa didn't just talk about lina. The braisa mentioned the psul mi'ila. It mentioned tuma and it mentioned lina. At the end, the braisa says something else about mi'ila, that you know how long the laws of mi'ila apply, and even when the basar is on the beis hadeshen, actually yutecha basar, until the basar completely disintegrates. Now, which basar are we talking about? If we're discussing the basar that's on the beis hadeshen, actually yutech, the basar that was nisraf. I'm not talking about the imurim that wasn't on the beis hadeshen. So we're obviously talking about the chelik of the animal that was burnt. So when the braisa talks about mi'ila, it's clearly discussing even the basar of the parim anisrafim. So doesn't it make sense, b'chal de reisha lina's basar, that all the psulim that I mentioned in the braisa are discussing basar? Mi'ila, tuma, and even lina. If lina, then machsheves lina. So you see this pigle even on the basar of the parim anisrafim. Must be it's a right. Rabbi Loza Nemar says, no, midi ir yohad ked isav adek ked isav reisha imurim seif basar. No, it's not muchach. It could be the first part of the braisa was discussing only the emurim, and then later the braisa said, oh, by the way, that when I said mi'ila, mi'ila applies also to the basa. You want to know up until what point? Atsheyutach, nisa, masiv rabba, ve'elu she'ein mefaglin, ve'ein mespaglin, from a long braisa, a braisa that mirrors our Mishnah. So the braisa says as follows, the following things, ein mefaglin, ve'ein mespaglin. So what do those things mean? The Gemara is going to explain. Tzemer she'berashe kevasim, number one, the wool that's on the head of the sheep, the sar shebezokin tiyoshin, and the beard of the male tiyosh, the ha'or, the ha'roite, the ha'kipa, the ha'olov, amurava, atzomis, vagide, vakrinoyim, vaklofim, vashlil, vashilya, vachali, vamikdoshim, ubeitse toir. That's our Mishnah. Cool, and all these things, that whole list, loy mefaglin, v'loy mespaglin, ve'in chayov and aleim, mishum pigul noise betomi. So, just for the next 3 minutes, we have to be familiar with these two lines. Cool, and loy mefaglin, so it's a wordy Mishnah, right? The Mishnah started off, gave us a whole list, the list of our Mishnah with a few hoysafis, and then it said again, Ve'in chayav and olayim mishum pigel. Misha said three times there's no pigel. Let's see. If I'm ma'ilav and b'chutz potter. Zok the Gemara, ma'ilav. When the Braisa says, ein mefaglav ein mispaglav, what does it mean? Does it mean loy mefaglav nazevach, v'loy mispaglav machma? What's loy mefaglav ein mispaglav? Loy mefaglav means if you're mechashiv to eat a kezayis of the olol, it's not pigel. What's loy mispaglav? And if you're mechashiv to eat a kezayis of the basar, it's not chal pigel on the olol. Not like Rabbi Laza. Rabbi Laza said that the only time it's true in the Mishnah that there's no pigel by these things is if the machshava wasn't those things. But if the machshava was in the regular basa, the regular murim, once it's chal pigel on the carbon, it's chal pigel on the ganzer carbon. Even on that chelik, isn't this price not that way? What did the price say? Loy mefaglin v'loy mispaglin. What are those two things? Loy mefaglin is unzer mishnah v'loy mispaglin. Rabbi Laza's halacha. But al kaponim you see from loy mispaglin, not like Rabbi Laza. So the Gemara says loy mefaglin es hazevach v'loy mispaglin mach mespatz. You know what the two things are? Loy mefaglin means that if you had a machshava to eat a kezayis of the olol, it's not chal pigel on the whole carbon. V'loy mispaglin, it's not even chal pigel on the olol. You would have thought that maybe if the machshava was on the olol, it should be chal on the olol. That's what it means. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi hadik tani seifa kul loy mefaglin v'loy mispaglin hasu lamali." Aye. So if the Mishnah, if the Braisa would have said one time, "Loy mefaglin v'loy mispaglin," zok the Gemara. I hear. But it said it twice. It chazed it over. That's why we went through this price so slowly. It said, ve'elu she'ein mefagl ve'ein mespagl in the beginning. And then at the end it said, harei'elu lo'y mefagl ve'ein mespagl. Why did I have to say it a second time? But the Gemara says, u'tamech, according to you. So you want to tell me, in other words, that the reason it said it a second time was to teach me not like Rabbi Lazar. But in chayom le'mishum pigel asum alamali. But even you, who explains why it said it twice, you're also going to have to do a little bit more work. Because you're going to have to explain why it said it a third time. Ella, what's the teretz? I did the boy lemisna noise of a tummy ton of pigle. The reason it said it a third time was because the third time it didn't just mention pigle. It mentioned pigle noise of a tummy. It's agav noise of a tummy. We mentioned pigle. We're just putting it together. Even though I know pigle, that's the theme of the brisa. First nine lines of the brisa are discussing pigle. But the tenth line is mentioning noise of a tummy. So we put it together because pigle noise of a tummy, they're a dynamic duo. Trio. They come together throughout Masechet Zvachim. So we'll not be the Hachinami says Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Loza says, I'll tell you why the Braisa said it again. I did the boy the Misna Maila Membuchot, being that the Braisa at the end was gonna chazer over the halacha that if someone's Maila, even though there's halacha of Shchutei Chutz and Halas Chutz, Perak Hashoychet Maila, certain parts of the animal, if you Maila them Bechutz, it's a problem. But these halachim are potter from Chutz. Tananami Bechut Loy Mesag Loy Mespaklin. It's Echanami. Meaning, the beginning of the Braisa says Ve'elu Loy Mefagim Loy Mespaklin. What does that mean, says Rabbi Lazar? It means if you're mechashev to eat these things, chutzas mani, it's not chal pigel on the carpet. V'loy mispaglin, it's not even chal pigel on that chelik. Then the Mishnah gave a whole list of examples. At the end of the Mishnah wanted to tell me two more halachas. Number one, if you maila these things b'chutz yopater. Number two, there's no noise of a tummy. Each time the Mishnah was maisev something, it chazed over pigel. There's no chutz, just like there's no pigel. There's no noise of a tummy, just like there's no pigel. But don't bring me rayas from all these kroyeseras, so to speak, from the fact that the Braisa keeps on repeating itself, that there's anything to be learned from Rav. Rav says, I'll bring you a raya from the Mishnah, no less, to Rabbi Lazar's Allah. Because the Mishnah said, Hashreichet es ha-muktashim, lechol shlul, eshul yibachutz loy pigol, v'amelik es ha-toyim lechol b'tzeim b'chutz loy pigol. V'hadar tani, and what did the Mishnah say at the end, the last line, chalev ha-muktashim, so if you remember the Mishnah, Anamad Aleph, you want to turn back. So the Mishnah gave a whole list of things that if you mechashiv in those things, chutzlas manoi, it's not chal pigel. And then the Mishnah said, the last line, chalev mukdashin, ubeitzei toirin, those are two of the aforementioned examples. The Mishnah had 10 examples. Two of the examples, in chayav and aleim mishon pigel nois of the tongue. Only those two? What do you mean? Everything. There was 10 things mentioned in the Mishnah. Why are we only chazering over two things that were mentioned in the Mishnah? Zok Rava, it's checkmate. It seems very, very clear to me. Hashlil v'shluya, etc., etc., chayovin. What's unique about those two things is that even if you're machashit in the Torah, even if you had a regular good machshavas pigel, even then it's not going to be chal pigel on those chalakim. That's in contrast to everything else mentioned in the Mishnah. Where it's true if you're machashit to eat those things, chutzas man, it's not chal pigel. But if you had a regular machshavas pigel, once it's chal on the carbon, it's even chal on those dvarim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the dvarim that are quote unquote dvarim she'in darkin lechol. In other words, Rava said, and not only don't we have kashas and Rabbi Loza from all the aforementioned brises, we have a Mishnah, Afan Anami Tanina, that would seem to very, very clearly support the halacha of Rabbi Elazar. So before we go weiter, just one more ha'ara. So in the previous sugya, we saw an idea of Shvachu Levnei Aharon Sheyelchu Adarka Veseim Bedam. And another big yisoy that we saw in that Gemara was that a Dover Lach is Einei Chaitze. So a Dover Yavish is Chaitze, a Dover Lach is Einei Chaitze. What was the context? The context was that they used to plug the drain in the Azar Erev Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because they wanted to be Memal Adam, according to the Chachamim, Shvachu Levnei Aharon. But the kasha is, how could the Kehanim walk then on the Ritzpah Sa'azara? Isn't the dam going to be a chatzitza? So the Gemara says the dam was liquid, and being that it was liquid, a dover lach is any chaitzis. So something interesting. Hilchas Tefillin. So we had Hilchas Lulav, we had Hilchas Shofar, Hilchas Kittel, or what I Hilchas Yemek Yipurim, and now we have a little bit of Hilchas Tefillin. So the Mechaber in Hilchas Tefillin, Simin Chav Zayin Siv Kotten Dalet, says, Lo Yehei Dover Chaitzitz Bein Tefillin Lebesaret. Person has to make sure when he puts on tefillin that there should be no chatzitza between his tefillin and his guf. Loish no shal yad, loish no shal rosh. Ramah says, v'dafke v'tefillin, av l'rtzui zayn l'hak. Comes to l'rtzui, so obviously you have to be maksa. But as it relates to the batim, the tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh, there's not allowed to be any chatzitza. The makar to this halacha is a rosh in hilchas tefillin, and the rosh's makar to this is zvachim daf yud tes lamed aleph. Take a look at the Beragoyla. He learned it from Erechin daf gimel lamed beis, and from zvachim daf yud tes lamed aleph. That was the gemara that discussed the halachas of chatzitza. Rava had a whole bunch of ibayas. It's the halachas of chatzitza in the context of big day kahuna, and the rosh held that just like there's a halacha that there wasn't allowed to be a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and the koyin, so too there's a halacha there's not allowed to be a chatzitza between your tefillin and your guf either. As if to say the laws of tefillin mirror the laws of big day kahuna. So whatever is going to be true in hilchas tefillin is going to be true in big day kahuna. So big day kahuna there's a halacha that you can't have a chatzitza, and hilchas tefillin there's going to be a halacha you can't have a chatzitza either. So based on this rosh, Paskins the Mechaber in Hilchas Tefillin Simcha of Zayin Tzif Talit Lo Yehei Dover Choytzeis Bein Tefillin LeBesorei Lo Yishnei Shol Yad Lo Yishnei Shol Resh. The Chidah in Birkei Yosef right here in Simcha of Zayin brings from the Shlo HaKadosh that the Shlo said that every morning before a person puts on Tefillin Shol Resh, he should make sure that he washes his Mokim HaNachas Tefillin. You have to make sure to wash your Tefillin Shol Yad Yishol Resh. And the reason is, you have a guf naki. You're going to do a mitzvah. You're putting a davar shekadosh on your guf. Make sure it's clean. It should be dirty. Posh it. You should make sure it's clean. Zok dechida uposh it. It's posh it to me. Sha'anoyagin came that if someone's going to do this, tzrichin l'nagiv ha'mokiv heitev. You have to make sure that you're going to afterwards dry the area really, really well. And the reason is because if you're not going to dry it and your body is going to be wet, the water is going to be a chatzitza between your guf and the tefillin, and it's a mafurish halacha. Lo yehei davar chaytzei tzbein tefillin lebsare. Lo yishna shal yad, v'lo yishna shal rosh. Zok de chida. I know what you're going to do. And what's my raya to this? My raya is very posh. Because what's the makar to this halacha? It's the rosh. Where did the rosh learn it from? From Big Day Kohuna. Meaning, whatever is considered a chatzitza in Big Day Kohuna is going to be a chatzitza with regards to tefillin. Zok de chida. By Big Day Kohuna, I found a mafurish of Mishnah Lamelech. It's in Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, where the Mishnah Lamelech says that the Kohen Gadol had to make sure that when he put on his Big Day Kohuna on Yom Kippur, that his body was completely dry. He said it to say Pshana in the Mishnah. We know the Mishnah. Yorad v'toval, olavin estapik. So the Kohen Gadol, after he would do his Chomesh Tfilos, he would come up, and the Mishnah says v'nestapik. He would dry himself. Says the Mishnah Melech. It was always a tamiya to me. Why did the Kohen Gadol have to dry himself? And he's mitzad the different svaras. Zok the Mishnah Melech. You know, Pshat is because there's a halacha zvachim daf yotesam and aleph. That there couldn't be a chatzitza between the Kohen Gadol, between a Kayin and the Big Day Kuna. So the Kohen Gadol is about to put on the Big Day Kuna. He has to make sure there's no chatzitza. If there's no chatzitza, you have to make sure there's no water, because the water is going to be chaitzis. So Zok Techidah, it's back in the envelope arithmetic. What's the makar to the Salach HaSimchav Zayin Siv Dalet? That there can't be chatzitza between your guf and your tefillin. It's the rush. The rush learned it from the Big Day Kuna. In other words, whatever's considered chatzitza in Big Day Kuna is going to be considered it. It's a mafurish of Mishlo Melech that if your body is wet, it's considered a chatzitza in Hilchis Big Day Kuna. If it's chatzitza in Hilchis Big Day Kuna, it has to be a chatzitza in Hilchis Tefillin. So Zok Techidah, that the Achrayim bring from the Shlach Kodesh, that's a very nice thing to wash the Mokam Anochas Tefillin before you put your tefillin on. But at the same time, you have to dry it too. You have to be an olav in a stopping. Because if you're not going to be in a stopping, you're not going to dry the area, it's going to come out. You're going to have a chatzitza. Zok, techida, omnam shamati. I heard a great sakasha. Because the Gemara says in the Sechtes, Zvachim daf lamed heim and aleph. And it's a Gemara, Pesachim samachay. It's a Gemara many places in Shas. That a dover lach is any chaytzeitz. So what's going on over here? What's pshat in the Mishnah Melech? He says, my husband's right. If the Mishnah Melech said it regarding Big Day Kahuna, then Luchur has to be true here as well. But what's pshat in the Mishnah Melech? Mishnah Melech said, Tamiya, the Kohen Gadol had to dry himself. He had to be an olive and a stopping. Why? To make sure that there was no chatzitza. The mayim is a davar lach. Well, no, once it dries, it's not there anymore. So what are you worried about? You're worried that it's there's water there. The drop of water that might be there is a davar lach. A davar lach isn't chaytis. The Gemara said in Mefurish over here, it's vachan lamin heim enough. There was no problem for the kohen to walk, even though the kohen has to be standing lamid l'sharis. But there was no chatzitza. Why was there no chatzitza? Because the dam, if it's lach, is any chaytis. So the mayim is not chaytis. So what's pshan in the Mishnah Melech? So he said pshan in the Mishnah Melech is pasha. Because if you remember the Gemara in Zvachan Daf Yitasim and Aleph, the Gemara over there discussed a whole bunch of examples of chatzitza. And one of the examples that the Gemara discussed was a ruach. So the kohen gadol, a ruach came, a little bit of wind, and it puffed out his beged. It's not literally attached to his guf. And the Gemara says it's a chatzitza. Now, ruach, space, is considered a chatzitza? There's no halacha anywhere that space is considered a chatzitza. There has to be something physical in between the two areas to constitute a chatzitza. Since when is a little bit of ear, ruach, considered a chatzitza? So it says the chida, vayz and vayz sechayis from that Gemara, that the definition of chatzitza in Big Dekun is different than the definition of chatzitza in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Ordinarily, as long as there's no chatzitza, there's nothing physical there, there's no problem. Big Dekuna, the halacha is that the Big Dekuna had to be al besorei shel kohen. And if it's not al besorei, that in alone is a problem. As if to say, we're using the word chatzitza loosely a little bit. It's not chatzitza as much as the begodim had to be al besorei. And if there's a ruach in between, that's a chesor and an alpasori. That's enough for it to be a parsos. But the bottom line is, if the laws of tefillin are learned out from Big Dekuna, and Big Dekuna that has a din alpasori, so tefillin's going to have a din alpasori also. That was pshat of the Mishnah Melech with regards to Big Dekuna, that mayim is a problem, even though ordinarily it's not chaytzeit. But in Hilchis al-Basari, there's going to be a chesor and al-Basari. Here too, there's going to be a chesor and al-Basari as well. One thing you see, just very quickly, is you see from here that with regards to Big Day Kohuna, the way that he does understand in Mishnah Melech, and it's really based on the Gemara, Daf Yitasim and Aleph, Talach is the begodim had to be al-Basari. It's not the pshat that if there's a chatzitza, there's a problem. The beggar had to be al-Basari. So mayim, which is a double lach that ordinarily is not chaytzeit, but it's still a chesor, it's a felt in al-Basari. Ruach, which is never a chaytzeit, but at the end of the day, it's a felt in al-Basari. If that's the case, it'll be mavur in our Gemara, that when it came to the halacha that the kohen had to stand while on the ritzvah sa'azorah while he was doing the avodah, there's no halacha that he had to be standing on the ritzvah. There's just a halacha that there couldn't be a chatzitza between him and the ritzvah. But there's no din on the ritzvah, because if there was a din, he had to be on the ritzvah, then how could the Gemara say the dam is not chaytzeit? And a chanami, dam is not a chatzitza. In Hilchas chatzitza, dam is a davalach, it's not chaytzeit. But if there's a din, he has to be standing on the ground, feet firmly planted, he's not. At the end of the day, he's on the dam. And just like the Mishnah Melech said, that mayim, which is a double lach, is not a chaytzeis. But if there's mayim between the guf of the koyen and the Big Day Kohuna, it's a chesaron in al-Basari, so too there'd be a chesaron over here being al-Ritzvah. What came to mind was the Sfasemis' Kasha. We had the Gemara and Daf Chavovim and Aleph, and the Gemara said that if the Kohen was hanging in the air while he did the Kabbalah, it's a problem. Because the Gemara said, Ein derech shiris b'kach. The Sfasemis, Ein derech shiris b'kach, say more pasha. You have to be standing. There's a din, you have to be standing on the Ritzvah. So the Sfasemis clears, what's this halacha that you have to stand? Is the pshat you had to be on the Ritzvah? Or is the pshat you just had to make sure that there was no chatzitza between you and the ritzvah? Says Fasemis, from this Gemara would be mavur, a big chiddush, that there was no din that the kohen had to be standing lamid l'sharis on the ritzvah. You just had to make sure there was no chatzitza. So lu yitzuyer, you can be somehow in a way where you're not on the ritzvah, but at the same time there's no chatzitza between you and the ritzvah, such as nitla v'shachat, that would be fine. Or nitla v'kibel, that would be fine, that would be kosher. In other words, mavur, there is taku no din ala ritzvah. It's ma'od matim with this Gemara right here. It's mavur, because if there was a din ala ritzvah, you'd have a problem with nafchavavim and aleph with regards to the case of nitla v'kibel. You'd have a problem over here, because the dam, which is the dav alach, which is ordinary lachaytze, here be chaytze. I'll just tell you one interesting thing. I was talking to my father's rav, Rav Yosef Ernst Shlita. So he told me that the chassidim tell a story that the Chabina rav, when he was a bachur, he used to go to the mikvah. And one time, he comes out of the mikveh, and he takes a towel, and he dried himself. Now, apparently, there's an idea of Pi Kabbalah not to dry yourself when you come out of the mikveh. The Mayan is Kaddish, but there's an Indian not to dry himself. So there was an Alta Chesidah Shayid, and he turns to the Chabina Rav, he says, Bucher, Mefirtzich Nishtazoi. This is not the way you're supposed to do it. He gave him as a psak, he was Mavatel him. He says, this is what you do, you dry yourself. Every chosh of a Bucher knows that you're not supposed to dry yourself when you come out of the mikveh. So the Chabina Rav told him, Ichab Gezeim by a Godol, that's what he used to do. and the Chabina Rav walked out. So there was a Yid that was walking out with him. So this Yid walks out and he turns to the Bacha, the Chabina Rav. He says, who is this Gadol by that you saw it by? So he said, the Kohen Gadol. It says, Yorad V'Taval, Olav V'Nistatle. So he says, Chlesish V'Kabula. Says the Mishnah, Yorad V'Taval, Olav V'Nistatle. But just to conclude with one Ha'ara that ties into the Daf, and it's also Minyana D'Yoyma, and that is Tehillim. Perikhes, Lamnatseh Alagita is Mizma Ludovit. Hashem Adinainu Mad Shimcha Bakala Oretz, Hashet Nahid Khala Shamayim. And then the pasuk continues and says, Mi pi oilin viyoinkin, yesadita ois, laman soirechola hashbis oyev umisnakim. Mi pi oilin viyoinkin yesadita ois. Listen to a Rashi in Tehillim. He says a Dover Nifla. Hashem Adinainu. David HaMelech is saying that the Torah is so gewaldig that really, you know where the Torah belonged? The Torah should have been in Shemayim. That's where the Torah should have been. But HaKadosh Baruch, because you're such an anav, you know what you did? That's the Hemshech HaPasuk. You are master the Shechin and the Beis HaMikdash. Vitikanto lecha ois mi pi aleviim vakoyanim shehem bnei adam gedilim belichluch. These are people that they're always dirty. Ka'olalim v'yoinkin shadayim, like children, like infants. Infants are always dirty. Says Rashi, oilal. You know where the word oilal comes from? Ask a man on the street. What's an oilal? Ah, baby. Mi pi oilal v'yoinkin yisadet ois ken ikush beis rabam. Right, young children. Isn't that what it is? Rashi says, not what it is. It's Eve Perik design. We should know that. Lashon ve'oilalti ba'ofar karni. The word oilal means dirty. Babies are always dirty. That's why they're called oilalim. Val shem halichluch nikru kol tinoik is oilalim. So Rashi at the hill. But al kopanim. So Rashi, that's the pasuk. Hashem adineinu says David HaMelech, Ma Adir Shimcha B'chal Aretz. The Torah is gewaldig. It's Ma Adir Shimcha B'chal Aretz. Asher, Tuna Hoyt Chal HaShemayim. And based on that, you know where the Torah should be? It should be in Shemayim. But Ato, Berachanecho, Ba'an Vanoscha HaGadoylo. You didn't leave the Torah in Shemayim. What did Hashem do with the Torah? Mipi oilim v'yoinkin yisadet ha'ois. You gave it to the oilim and the yoinkin. You know who they are? The Levim and the Kohanim that are meluchlich bidam from doing the Avodah. Today's daf, like oil in the yoinkin, like children, and that's the yisadet ha'ois. That's you were master of the shechina. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was master of the shechina. Davke in a place that's meluchlich to show the anivus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that even though it's true based on what the Torah is, it should be way above their pay grade, so to speak. Oil of the yoinkin. What shaykhis do they have to the Torah? That's what it should be. That's true. But at the same time, va'atoban v'noscha gedoylo yisadet ha'ois. What came to mind is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that Peches Amid Beis. Who said Hashem Adineinu Ma'ad Hashemcha B'chal Aretz? That's what the Malachim told Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Gemara. B'shoshal Moshe L'Amarayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, and the Malachim see him, Mayu L'Disho, what's going on over here? What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? So Hashem said, you came to be Mekabel the Torah. So what did they say? This Taino, Hashem Adineinu Ma'ad Hashemcha B'chal Aretz. Asher T'nohit Chal HaShemayim. You're going to take the Torah HaKdoisha, that's Kulei Kodesh. You're going to give it to mortal human beings, flawed people. People that are dirty, what are you doing? So Moshe says, I hear. So he turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do? So Hashem tells him, Achiz b'chisei kveit v'nam, should chap onto my kisei hakoved and give him an answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts saying, it says, kabed es avicha v'asemecha. Do you have a father? Do you have a mother? It says, sheish es yovim pasim alachtechu v'yei mashri. You work for 6 days. It says, lo sirtzach, lo sinach. Kulum, you have kin, you have taiva, you have all these midas rois, klum yeshbachem yetzahara. Do you have a yetzahara? Do you have all these midas rois? They said, I hear. And that's why the Yidden end getting the Torah. Now, Poshet, how do you learn the Gemara? Moshe was just proving that the Torah was meant for human beings. It wasn't meant for the Malachim. Meaning, in theory, you could have argued that based on the Kedusha of the Torah, Ma'ad Hashem Chabachal Ares, Asher Tanoh Yitchal Hashemai. But I did Moshe, I'll prove it to you. Checkmate. I have a Mefurish, a Raya, and the Torah. Read the Ten Commandments. Are they meant for Malachim? Or are they meant for human beings? But the emes is, it's a very shver pshat in the Gemara. Maral already says, we know the Torah is Nidrash, Be'ayim Ponim, and Pshat Remes Oidrush. That's how Derech Pshat, it belongs to us. But our Derech Remes and all the other Pshatim, all the Pshatim Gvoyim and Eskavim that we'll never understand, they have much more of a Shaykhis too. But I think the answer is different. The answer was, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't trying to prove. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't proving that the Torah was for us. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming with a tshuva ha-nitzachas. It's true. Hashem Adineinu Ma'ad Hashimcha B'chal Aretz Asher T'nohit Chal HaShemayim. That was the time of the Malachim. And really, I hear the argument. but at the same time, it's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that mipi oilu levin yoinkin yisad atois. Do you have a Yetzirah? No, you don't have a Yetzirah. It's not what Hashem wants. He wants us because we have a Yetzirah. We're oilu levin. We're yoinkin. We're meluchlich bedam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dafke giving the Torah to us because we work for 6 days. And for us, Shabbos is an asayin. And for us, you know, we have a father and a mother. And for us, we have loisirtzach and loisinif. These are all things that are unique to the human race. That are our struggles and our shortcomings and our nesiyonos, the things that make us oilim yoinkin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dafke giving the Torah to us. It's not a raya that it's for us. It's the reason that it's for us. The reason we're getting the Torah is because, you know, the Gemara says, Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, whether yontev is chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem, or oikulei lachem and oikulei lashem. Rabbi Yeshua says, chalkeu, chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem. The Rabbanan say, no, it's oikulei, or Rabbi Elazar says, oikulei. But the Gemara says, hakom moidim batzeres debina nami lachem. Everyone's moidim batzeres debina nami lachem. Meaning, even Rabbi Eliezer that holds that you don't necessarily need lachem on yontif. So if you want on Pesach, you don't eat basar, you don't drink wine. If you want, you can sit in Beis Medrash the whole day, say till and learn, we'll do whatever you want. That's okay. If you want to do that on Sukkot, so oichigit. But on Shavuos, hakol moida batzeres to be nami lachem. Everyone's moida that you have to give something to your God. Why? Yom shenitna b'tayra. And if you do the Beis Halevi's kashas, we spoke at somebody lomdish of Beis Halevi's recently. So adrush Beis Halevi, Beis Halevi ala tayra. If you do the Beis Halevi's kashas, Parshas Yisro. The reason that we get on Shavuos, how come Moedim Bat Seres? There's a din lachem because that's the day we got the Torah. Yeah, it's the day you stay up Shavuos night and you learn. You'd say, oh, you ordinarily, maybe, you know, get a little tipsy on Yontif. Shavuos, Yom Shinit about Torah, I have to learn my Chavrusa, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, till straight till Mincha, and then after my, right, that's what you would think, because it's Shavuos. Shavuos, Hakum Moedim Bat Seres, to be the Nami Lachem, Zok the Beis Halevi, yeah. Because why did we get the Torah and not the Malachim? It's because we're human beings. So on Shavuos Dafka is when we remember that we're human. Hakomoydim batzeres to be in nami lachem, that we're made up of a guf and we have a yetzahara and we have our shortcomings. The reason we do that dafka on Shavuos is because Shavuos is yom shenitna by Torah, and the reason we got the Torah is because we're oilavim v'yoinkim. The reason we got the Torah is because we have a guf, and that's what we remember. We remember that, almost celebrate that. Hakomoydim batzeres to be in nami lachem. But I think the musar is so obvious that, you know, sometimes people feel I have a shaykhis to Kabbalah Satorah. The Torah is so gevaldig. Who am I? Me and my shortcomings and my nesiyonos and everything that I do wrong. It's a good cheshbon. It's true. It was the Malachim's taina. And even Rashi says, Ro'u shetitneu ala shamayim. Really, the only person that should be able to sit down and learn and have a kvias, especially things that we're learning, zvachim, which is not easy, and Rabbi, it's not getting easier. So, you know, I know nobody wants to hear that, but it's the truth. They're not getting easier. But the bottom line is it's a melos. But where do we have a shaykhis? We have a shaykhis to harving and learning Torah. That's ma'adr shimcha asher tenohit chala shamayim. Yeah, in a perfect world, maybe that's the way it would be. But it's not the way it is. The reality is Hashem gave us the Torah because we have a Yetzahara. Hashem gave us the Torah because we have a Guf. That's why Hakom Moedim Batzeres Dafke Yom Shevitin the Torah being a Nami Lachem. And we're like the Oil of the Yoinkin. The Oil of the Yoinkin, these were the Kehanim and the Levi. Rashi says, Shem Bnei Odom Gedelim Belichluch Ka Oil of the Yoinkin Shadayim. That's what we are. But it doesn't mean that we don't have a right to learn Torah. Just the opposite. The Torah was not given L'Shamayim. It was Dafke given to the Oil of the Yoinkin.